to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I am Archie Graham. You can call me Moonlight.
DJ Moonlight.
DJ Moonlight. Earlier in the week, it was Use a Different Name Day, National Use a Different Name Day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah, it's a national thing. Mm-hmm. I heard about it on the interweb. And right. So for that day, my name was Archie Graham. So you can call me Archie.
Okay.
Or if you want, but that was 2 days ago, so maybe you shouldn't call me Archie anymore.
Yeah,
call me Dad.
If it's not today, then
yeah. But you know, I had fun being Archie for a day because I've never been an Archie before.
Good thing we have these holidays.
It was also like, you know, chocolate strawberry day. I don't know what that was, but it was something like that. It was every day is a new holiday. I mean, you know, today is probably, you know, National Kick Somebody in the Butt Day, but it's something like that.
I don't like that one.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. You don't want to do that, but yeah. So I was Archie, and two people that I know got it.
Really, that many?
Yeah. Because Archie Graham is like, you know.
You mean Archie Barker?
No, Archie Graham. Archibald Graham. Archie Graham. Oh, okay. My favorite movie-ish. Well, now, one of my favorite movies is Field of Dreams.
Uh-huh. This is true.
And, yeah, because it's about Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hashtag love Iowa. Is this heaven?
No.
It's Iowa.
No, remember the gas station that said, is this heaven? No, it's the 75-cent car wash.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Iowa. Oh, well, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, Field of Dreams is like, you know, one of my favorite movies. And Archibald Graham was a character in Field of Dreams played by one of my all-time favorite actors, Burt, not Lair, not Reynolds. Lancaster. God, that guy was so freaking awesome. In that movie, I was just like, I believed he was an old man. I was so like into it. He was just, oh man, he was just great.
This is my dad, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh no, I love watching Burt Lancaster. Oh,
is
yeah.
Is this shoe polish Nelson? Or wait, what is this?
Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoe polish Nelson. Give me a break on this
close.
One. Come on. Come
close.
On.
Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson. That's right.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. Hey. Baseball season is only like three or 4 weeks away. Okay.
I was thinking of Frequency. They're watching the baseball game and there's a shoe polish play.
That's what I was thinking. No.
Any dad. Anyway.
You know, I always cry watching that movie. I'm an old man and I get like, you know, like verklempt watching because.
It's one of the five things that dad always says. And one of them is, I always cry at Field of Dreams.
It's one of the, yes. Oh, yes. But it is.
That and
Cubs like,
rule.
And I'm like going like, I'm watching this movie and I'm going, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. Yeah, I don't have a problem admitting, you know, my feminine side, you know, because I.
Why can't it be your masculine side?
I love my daughter. And that's why I'm here admitting my feminine side. So, and it can be my masculine side. Maybe guys do cry. Anyway, the point is I was like watching this and I'd be like going, I can watch. I've seen this movie 100 times. I can get through it. And then it gets to James Earl Jones standing there in front of that ball field talking about America and baseball and how America has been like a blackboard, written and erased and written again. And I'm going, oh, crap, there's tears running down my face. You know, James Earl Jones, you know, this isn't a Star Trek thing, but James Earl Jones read that script. I read something somewhere where he read that script and he got to that speech, that whole speech about how this game, and I'm getting verklempt again right now. But wow. He says, this field, this game reminds us of what was once good and can be again. And he read that and he went to his wife. He said, I gotta do this movie. And I'm going like, oh, yeah, you were perfect in it. So, hey, James Earl Jones, shout out to you.
Shout out to James Earl Jones.
I love you, man. You are so awesome. I love you in Dr. Strangelove. I love you in The Great White Hope. I love you. Oh, I even loved you as Darth Vader.
Oh, boom. Man, he needs to listen to this podcast.
Oh, he was in a movie about, speaking of stars and, you know, aliens and did I say? I have to bleep.
Oh, why? There's no 5-year-olds listening to this.
Okay. Anyway, he was also in a movie and I can't remember. I think it was like a made for TV thing, and somebody's gonna say no, he wasn't. Or yes, he was, and they'll tell me what the name of it was. But it was about some alien abduction thing.
Oh yeah.
Back in And so yeah, so it's, you know, it's, this is all synergy.
Yeah.
It comes back to Star Trek and aliens and stuff like that. So it's not like I was just talking about baseball.
You know, it's interesting. I don't remember you ever crying when I was a kid. I remember seeing tears in your eyes when you talked about Saving Private Ryan, but otherwise it wasn't. Yeah. After I left the house, you became a man of more sensitive.
This is what happens when you get old. Okay? you hit 60 and Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. Every 10 minutes, it's Niagara Falls. You know, Attila the Hun, when he talked about his mother. Niagara Falls. Oh, yeah. That's what happens. What happens when you hit 60? You know, it'll happen to Eric. Don't worry.
Oh, are you kidding? Eric? No, Eric's been like that his whole life.
Yo, man, you outed him. Does he still have a man card? Does he have a man card?
Of course he does.
Oh, sweet. Man.
But it was during, we saw Toy Story 3 in the theater. And I remember at the end, all the toys are holding hands and they're all going to die together. And I turned to him and he was like, shut up, don't look at me.
Sweet. Oh, man. You know, hey, okay. I'm good with that.
Men, it's totally fine, men. Like, it's okay. You can feel things. It's is not the 1960s anymore.
I do feel things. We went to the Post.
I digress. Right?
I digress.
Right, though, good. Guys, go see the Post.
Man. Oh, you know, hashtag newspapers, hashtag journalism, yeah. Hashtag women's rights, hashtag God, that is such a good movie. Oh, yeah. Man.
No, Eric and I walked out of the theater and Eric was like, but Meryl Streep, when she did this, and then he started getting teary-eyed just talking about Meryl Streep in that movie.
Me too.
She's so good.
Me too. We were getting in the car and I was telling your mom about the scene where they came out of the Supreme Court and she walked past all those women. And she was, and this guy was back there like blabbing to the news, and she was just, you know, walking past these women down the steps. And I know Spielberg, greatest director ever, almost, yeah. Or one of, and he's like, and I'm looking at this going, this is such a, and he just nailed it. He nailed it. She nailed it. They all nailed it. They did it. And it was just like, oh, this is so freaking awesome. But hey, guess what?
Yeah.
We
digress.
Digressing. We're talking about movies.
Oh, right. Okay.
So yeah, so, you know, hey,
you know, if hey, they're, you if, know what? Our listeners have to get to know us a little bit.
So. Well, yeah, you know, it's, you know, it's pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of part of our thing. But yeah. the other thing about it is that Bridget and I, and really the whole family, movies, you know, we're like TCM. Movies are our life. Movies have been a big part of our life, big a part of the kids growing up. Big part of me growing up, you know, when I was 10 years old, the local TV channel every Saturday afternoon, like showed 5 or 6 movies in a row just to fill space. It was, mm-hmm. you know, it was always movie time. And those movies were always like 30s and 40s, like movies. And a lot of them were, you know, I busted my chops on old war movies from, world, you know, from the 40s, you know, Flying Leathernecks and, you know, Back to Bataan and things like that. And so I learned to love, you know, movies, and I just have this thing about now that I'm old and I don't do anything, I sit and watch movies, good ones, bad ones. I don't care. I'm watching a movie tonight. It's movie night every night at the Kelly house. And so, yeah.
Well, it's it's basically your fault that I moved to Los Angeles. So,
crap. You know, and the movie that did it for me, that really kind of like made me think about movies as an art form, was, what do you think that was? Can you guess?
The Longest Day. Dr. Strange. Well, 2001.
That was it. Yes. That was the one that that was the one that made me think of movies as an art form.
Yeah.
And not just entertainment.
You know what it was for me?
What?
Probably Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh my, are you serious? Oh, yeah, they don't compare. Sorry.
Okay, well maybe that was the first movie that I was like obsessed with, I guess.
I'll have to disagree on that one because I don't think they even come close. Oh, he doesn't even have a British accent. I love Costner.
He does.
Don't get me wrong.
He does like a couple words in the movie.
But segue. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorite actors was in that movie, and you know who he is.
I'm gonna cut your heart out with a spoon.
Oh, everything Alan Rickman was in, I just ate it up. I loved that guy.
Shout out to Alan Rickman.
Oh God, I was so sad. He's so sad. He shouldn't have gone away so soon.
R.I.P. Dad, we have to talk Trek. That's what the podcast is about.
That's what the podcast is about. Okay. We'll cut all of this out.
No. It's good. It's good.
We'll cut it out. We'll just cut this stuff out. So I know we've been talking about what's going on-ish, but I did want to bring up, you started an Instagram account for me. How does that happen?
I started it for Talking Trek.
Oh, okay. And you put me on it.
I put a post about you on it.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to change my favorite quote.
Okay. What should I change it to?
Well, people at work, we were talking about this at work. I said, my daughter's doing this thing. And then she asked me for my favorite Star Trek quote. What the heck did I say? I can't remember. Oh, make it so.
Yeah.
I said, make it so. And somebody said, no, your favorite Star Trek quote is, by Grabthar's hammer, you shall be avenged.
Speaking of Alan Rickman.
Oh, you may have to change that.
That's not Star Trek.
It's kind of Star Trek. And
by Grabthar's hammer, what a savings.
What a savings. I do say it a lot at work. I will say that. I do. Like, nice. You know, when stuff happens, I will go, by Grabthar's hammer, you shall be avenged.
So check us out on at Talkin' Trek on Instagram.
Do we have any grams to Insta on that thing or what?
Yeah, I'll show you what it looks like. I'll show you later. Dad, okay. I didn't figure Dad knew Instagram, so I just did it without him.
Okay. Hey, that's cool.
Like a good millennial.
I'm good with that. And we gained a listener.
James Earl Jones?
No. I wish. We gained a listener. Shout out to Michael, if you're out there. Not your brother, the other Michael.
Another Michael.
He said he was definitely going to listen to us while driving back and forth on his long commutes. So,
oh, wow. Michael, go for it.
Yeah, sweet. if you actually do listen.
He is right now.
He is.
Right
okay. Now. Hashtag sweet. How you doing, Mike? I've never called you Mike. I'm sorry. Michael. It is so good to have you as a bud. So there you go. So, okay. Are we ready to rock and roll here, baby?
Let's rock and roll.
Okay. So.
We forgot to say in the last episode what we were doing this episode.
Did we?
We did.
Oh, okay. We did.
But we talked about it afterwards. But we decided to switch it up. And this is my choice this week. To do Star Trek Voyager, season one, cathexis.
Cathexis.
Which I looked up on the dictionary. I didn't know it was a real word.
It is a real word.
Yeah. The concentration of mental energy on one particular person, idea, or object, especially to an unhealthy degree.
Seriously.
Yes. Holding, drooling over such luxury, is a cathexis. I don't know. I wrote it down too quickly.
Well, there you go.
I tried to use it in a sentence and I didn't write it down right. Edit that. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. See ya. What?
Bye. What see ya.
Bye. See ya. What the heck was that all about?
Okay. Anyway, well, what'd you think of this episode?
All in all, I think it was fairly decent. Mm-hmm. The storyline was simple enough to keep it within an hour.
I chose it because it was my favorite episode as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for like the longest time, remember we only had season one on those like white VHS tapes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so we just had those to watch over and over again. So I would pretty much only watch this episode over and over again.
Oh really?
Yeah, because I think because it's the closest thing to like a Star Trek ghost story. So
truth be known, the reason we had those tapes.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Somebody I worked with knew somebody because we didn't get that series here in Davenport.
Because that was the first time it was on UPN
right.
instead of Fox or something.
Right. And so the thing was that somebody I knew at work knew somebody at a TV station in like El Paso, Texas or some crazy place like that. It could have been El Paso or it could have been New Mexico. I can't remember, but they knew somebody at a TV station and they sent us a box of 6 or 8 videotapes with all of these on it. And I was like, oh my Lord, you are the best coworker I have ever known. So this person gave me those tapes and I was like, ugh. I don't know. I probably should have given them back to her.
We still have them, don't we?
Yeah, they're still in the closet. I'm sorry. But, it was 25 years.
I'm sure it was a present.
I hope. I hope it was. But, hey, whatever. I mean, I just have to. Sometimes when I think about that, I think I get this, like, little guilty feeling that, oh, maybe I should have given him back, or I don't know, but anyway.
So it starts off with a Hollow novel. What do you think of that Hollow novel, Dan?
Jane Eyre.
Yeah. It was loosely based off Jane Eyre.
Yeah, and it was just, I think that was just there to kind of suck up some time.
It was there to introduce that's what Janeway likes to do on her free time.
Oh, do you think? Do you think it was there to, like, you know, give us a little more insight into Janeway's character? When this woman comes up and, like, you know, totally, like, stomps on Janeway, because she's playing this character in this 1830s English manner. And this woman comes up and says, you know, you're not going to do anything that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, like, stomp on everything that you say. And Janeway goes, screw that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm me and you aren't. Okay.
Which I am always like, wait, so do they have to, like, before they go into the holodeck, do they have to go, okay, so I know that she's going to, you know, be a jerk to me. So
be part of it. But the other thing about mm-hmm. that is that when they go into the holodeck, shouldn't they be playing a character? I mean, wouldn't they be an actress? Do they have to be themselves, or should they, or actor?
I don't know. I mean, she was playing the part.
Well, she was, just because she was dressed, but she was still herself. Mm-hmm. She was still being, like, you know, Janeway.
She's being a tough cookie.
Tough cookie. Okay. Yeah. Well, she was a Starfleet captain. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Which, so, I'll say, even before we get into it, I think she whole, like, how do I put it? Basically, when I was a kid, I made fun of her a lot. So, I didn't like her hair. I thought it was so poofy for the 90s. I didn't like the way she, like, stared off, like, melodramatic. But now that I'm older and I'm looking back, I'm like, actually, I really like her in this. I think she does a way better job than I ever gave her credit.
She was definitely a tough cookie, for one thing. But yeah, she, in the long history of Star Trek captains,
mm-hmm.
okay, overacting is really part of the gig.
Well, it's not just that, but even, like, the looking away dramatically, like, Picard does it too. Picard just does it, like, stone faced.
Yeah.
You know,
Picard is a little more subtle about it.
And yeah. And when she does it, like when she looks off into the distance, it's a worried look.
Well, but it's also, like, a softer look. She has a softer side, you know, and she, yeah, there's a big difference between her and Picard. And, or for that matter, her and Kirk.
Yeah.
Or Sisko, for that matter. I mean, Sisko, I think, is, like, an outlier for some reason or another,
mm-hmm.
as captain. He's just different. He's, like, you know, he's a little more familiar with people than the rest of them.
Sure.
But
maybe he doesn't keep himself at a distance as much.
But, you know, he wasn't a captain of a starship. He was a captain of
a commander.
Well, he was the administrator for a space station.
Yeah. We'll have to do DS9 at some point.
Which is, I plan on it. You know, because, you know.
Oh, we already talked about the one episode we want to do.
There's a couple episodes I want to do.
We digress.
And I found an episode in, you know, I might just use that next time if I can figure out what episode it is. Oh, there it is. That's the one I want to do. There was two that I was looking at, but I think I'm going to do this one because it's interesting. But
okay.
we'll get to that later.
Later.
Okay. So, yeah. So she starts out there, and then they get a crazy call. You know, the 1830s guy is going, what, you have a voice talking from the wilderness?
I think he paused.
Yeah, well, he must have paused or something, because she called to the bridge. There's a problem with Chakotay and a Tuvok shuttle. They come back. Tuvok and Chakotay are been both like bazoomed.
Bazoomed.
Right. They got hit by, you know, Manos's hands of fate.
Yeah.
Came in and like nailed them. Okay. And so,
which gets to the main reason why I love this episode, besides like the ghost like stuff. But This is the best episode of Star Trek speak. Like the Star Trek idness and the language is so good. So that what hit Chakotay and Tuvok was an energy discharge, and it caused Chakotay's bioneural energy to be extracted. Someone drained the energy of every axon and synapse in Chakotay.
Okay, I get that.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, but it doesn't have anything to do with, I don't know, dark matter and or
dark. It was a
muon beams.
It was a dark matter nebula.
Oh yeah, okay. It was a dark matter. Okay, I get it. Okay.
So Chakotay and Tuvok are outside of a dark matter nebula, and a UFO attacks them and then flies into the nebula. So Tuvok is like, "We better go back to that nebula and see what he hit us with, so that we can save Chakotay, because Chakotay is just sitting there in a coma."
Right. And Chakotay's in a coma and Tuvok's running around. He's fine, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
And skipping. It turns out Tuvok is like, well, I won't go that far.
I was like, we can just skip the whole episode. That's fine. Spoilers.
Tuvok.
It turns out Tuvok was a
computer the whole time. Yes. Oh, no, Tuvok isn't a computer. Tuvok.
Do you want to just skip the whole thing? No, We've been talking about shit for a long time. No, we might as well.
I don't even know how long we've been going. Oh, crap. We have been going.
We better get going, I guess.
We better get moving. Rolling.
Hold on. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. Okay. Tuvok. Okay. And so Chakotay's in a coma,
mm-hmm.
right? And Doc doesn't know what to do because his synapses are unsynapsable. Okay, and it's like,
yes,
sweet. But here's the thing: Tuva or Chakotay is just having an out of body experience.
Yeah, groovy.
Okay, he's astral projecting. Which is, you know, it was a big thing back when Mom and I were listening to Yes, and you don't know what Yes is.
You mean the band?
The band, yeah. Oh, okay, back in those days.
Oh, wait, are you talking about when you and Mom smoked some doobies?
we did not smoke doobies.
You smoked doobies listening to Yes?
No, we just
that
listened
is so
to Yes,
groovy.
And we grooved to Yes. I'm not going to admit to any doobies. No. But I went to see this guy. You know, I worked with this dude.
The Doobie Brothers?
No, he wasn't a Doobie Brother, but he was a guy in the factory, and I worked with him, and he's like, "Hey, come on over to my house. I'm, you know, my apartment. I'm like, you know, got some really good yogurt."
I hate yogurt.
And I'm going like, well, whatever. Okay. So I went over, and, you know, he had this yogurt that was from goats, and, you know, he knew the farmer, and the farmer, you know, petted his goats and was really nice to his goats, and they made some really good yogurt.
But, okay.
it actually tasted more like just spoiled milk.
Uh-huh.
It was really bad. But
is this still a metaphor or euphemism?
He was playing Yes. He was like,
and you had an out of body experience?
Well, no, we spent the night talking about astral projection because this dude was really into that. And he was trying to teach me how to do some transcendental meditation to to like project my mind out of my body. Damn. And achieve a consciousness that was really much farther than, and it's what Chakotay was into right in this episode. I mean, Chakotay was like astral projecting.
That's pretty cool.
His consciousness left his body, wandered around the ship, and every time they tried to go to the nebula, Chakotay was there to like jump into somebody and go, no, you're going to have to do this. And yeah, they couldn't figure out what the heck was going on because they kept turning away from the nebula.
Yeah. Somebody keeps turning the ship around and they can't figure out why. And we realize that a ghost alien is hopping around from person to person, making them do things.
Yeah. But it wasn't an alien.
It was a ghost baby.
It wasn't a ghost baby. It was a ghost Chakotay.
Is Chakotay somehow?
Guys,
so much Star Trek speak. cellular residue, biomolecular scan, ion trail. A megatons, they do a megatons flash scan. Like,
oh yeah, megatons flash scan. That was good. So good. That was a good one.
An energy signature with an unknown alien entity took over them. I don't know. It's just, oh, such good Star Trek.
Oh yeah. I did like the Megatron.
Yeah, the Megatron scan.
Flash scan. That was good.
Yeah. So turns out, Tuvok was
a computer all the time. No, he wasn't a computer. No. Okay. Oh.
Well, we find out that an alien ghost has been in Tuvok, and Chakotay is the one that's been turning everybody around.
Right. Chakotay's been flying around the ship, like, you know, because he's astral projecting.
Oh, yeah. So he flies into Kes's room. Which, now that you know it's Chakotay, you're like, wait.
That's actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's like, wait, to give him a benefit of the doubt, he went in there. He went in there to be like, Kes, I'm a ghost. And yeah, Kes could be like,
didn't get it.
There's a ghost in here. Yeah, as opposed to him being like, hey, Kes, how's it going? You can't see me.
That would have been creepy.
Yeah. But
Chakotay was a stand-up dude. I get it. And the other thing, the thing about this, though, they brushed it aside, or they used it a little bit, but they kind of brushed it aside, and then it became back as like an important plot point. But I think Chakotay's character has always been, for me, like an outlier in the Star Trek world.
Okay.
Except for he had a little bit of Spock in him, in that Chakotay was a mystic.
Right.
He always had an eye on a spiritual world that was beyond what was, you know, what was physical. And even though he was like a scientist and he was an archaeologist and whatever, he still had a thing going for him that was a little bit beyond that, because he had his religious mysticism that he used. Mm-hmm. And that was the important thing about the medicine wheel, which was a real important part. It just wasn't a focal point of the show, but they brought it in and said, Chakotay, when they say Chakotay is, or somebody is in a coma, they're walking the wheel and they may be lost. Mm-hmm. And they had this medicine wheel, which, if you don't know what a medicine wheel is, GTS, Google that stuff. It's a circle with points on it that point to different astral planes of existence. And it's used by native cultures to sort of help them understand the physical world in relation to the spiritual world. And I liked that about Chakotay. I really did. I liked the fact that Chakotay had this whole spiritual side to him. And he often talked about his animal guides and yeah, how they helped him.
You know? do you think he's like if Spock and Troy had a baby?
Well, yeah, he's kind of you know, Vulcans had a mysticism all their own.
Yeah.
And Chakotay's mysticism was different from Vulcan, but you know, I think it's important to have a little mysticism in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was good to, like, they brought that into Star Trek, even though, yeah. You know, this was way beyond Roddenberry by this time.
Yeah.
But it was still good to bring those sorts of aspects of our existence into this TV show. And like, you know, while you're like watching this crazy stuff going on and everybody's like, you know, shooting proton beams at each other, you can still like go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe their Katra is, you know, off or something like that. So, yeah. So I did like, you know, I wish I was a mystic sometimes. I really do. I'm not very mystical, but I wish I was a mystic. You know,
yeah, I mean, you can still meditate and try to astral project yourself. Yeah.
I have. I did once. I did. No, seriously, I really did. And I got to a very scary place and I said, no, I'm not going through that door. I'm sorry.
You're it's like not happening. Ray looking at the hold of the dark side.
Well, it was a little bit, it was a little bit like, you know, the refrigerator with
Indiana Jones.
Gozer. You open the door. I went to a door once. I was meditating and I went to a door.
Oh goodness. I'm scared.
And I was like really kind of like, you know, it was weird because I wasn't dreaming of a door. There was a door.
Mm-hmm.
And the door was surrounded by flames. And I went, I really don't want to open this door because, frankly, I thought Gozer was on the other side and I didn't really want to go. So I didn't. And I turned around and went back.
All right, listeners, if comments below on, if you think on what you think that means. It sounds you're afraid to go through doors.
No, I didn't want to go through that particular door. And, you know, maybe if I had the courage to go through that door, I might have gotten to a different plane of existence.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know.
We'll never know.
You just don't know. I never went back.
But so Chakotay
was a computer all along. No.
He was out of body the whole time. So the doctor puts his soul back in Chakotay, and this is the best.
They figured it out. They figured out that Tuvok was bad.
Oh yeah, they shot Tuvok, and Tuvok's ghost.
Yeah, there was a lot of phaser fire going on and stuff like that. But
that was pretty sweet.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it was good. It was good.
That was really sweet.
But at the same time, Skipping.
Yeah, no, we'll figure it out. So Tuvok's ghost alien leaves. The Kovar were their name, and they just wanted to steal everybody's energy. But you know, Janeway figured it out. See, and then the doctor gets Chakotay's soul back in his body, and he does it in the best Star Trek speak. He's like, "How did you do that, Doc?" And the doctor, who I love so much, goes, "Oh, it took 3 neural transceivers, 2 cortical stimulators, and 50 gigawatts of computer memory."
That's not how you do it.
That's my favorite thing.
I'm serious. I think they would have had a better chance if they had used the medicine wheel, because this was a more of a spiritual experience for Chakotay than a technological one, you know.
Well, my quote for the episode to go on the wall of quotes.
Okay, go for it.
As when Torres puts Chakotay's rock on the a certain place on the wheel, and the doctor says, "Well, you just put Chakotay in the Valley of the Antelope Women. He might not want to leave."
That's right. Yeah, well, I've never been in a Valley of Antelope Women, but I'm guessing it might be a very nice place to go. No, I'm just saying. One other thing that I did want to mention.
Okay.
And that is Paris brought up good old Doc Brown.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, great Scott. I was like, and here's the other thing that was like, they went on a course to the nebula. What was the course? 1.21 mark.
Oh, they knew what they were doing. 1.21 gigawatts.
I know they were. Nice. They were totally channeling Back to the Future. I know they were.
Not to pick apart that moment, but yeah, when you say Doc Brown, automatically takes you out of it.
Oh yeah.
But then he's talking about how his doc, when he had a cold, his doc brought over soup. And in rewatching The Next Generation, Dr. Crusher or Wesley asks his mom, what's a cold? And she says, oh, it's a disease humans used to get 100 years ago. So they cured the common cold, but apparently Paris still got one.
Oh, baby.
Poor Paris.
I did not know that. That is an interesting Star Trek fact. Oh,
yeah. I just knew it.
We could skip that part of our episode today. Interesting Star Trek facts.
Bridget
had one. there you go. Oh, I did have a little. We're not ready for that yet, are we? Are we done with the episode itself? You know, in the long run, this was a pretty good episode, and I want to just mention that we've done like three body snatcher episodes in a row.
Now. I know this is basically a body snatcher.
This is the terror.
Okay, well, mate. Well, we'll see if we can do a non-body snatcher episode.
I have
next.
A non-body snatcher for right, the next good. One. Okay, good, good, I do. I had a body snatcher episode for the next one, but I decided on a different one.
Nice. Because I went, oh, no
more body snatchers.
I know. Okay, so we started off with four body snatchers.
There's a ton of body snatcher episodes.
Yeah. Before we say what episode we're doing next week.
Oh, no, we've got a couple other things we have.
Yes, we have.
We have What Would Picard Do?
What would Picard do?
What would Picard do? What do you think?
And not to be too similar to last week, but I think he would have given a rousing speech on the bridge that would have made the ghost alien inside of Tuvok go, wow, I had no idea that humans were so full of justice and freedom. The Kovar don't want to take all your energy. We want you to explore the galaxy. And then they would have left.
Humans are full of something, but I don't know if it was justice and freedom. But
hopefully someday, eh, Roddenberry?
Okay. Well, I don't know.
What do you think Picard would do?
Picard would have done? Picard would have gotten Troy to mind meld with Tuvok.
Tuvok was going to mind meld Kest, and he just gave her a Vulcan neck pinch.
So. Yeah, I know. Why didn't... That was another thing that really kind of puzzled me. It was like, here's this doctor who knows everything about everything, and he's always telling you how much his database is, and he doesn't recognize a Vulcan neck pinch.
It took him forever. He did finally like write it down on a notepad, and that's what Paris saw later. Paris is like, give me a break. Doc wrote Vulcan neck pinch down on this
what
like notepad.
What was that all about? And now he disappeared. Yeah, I get it. But okay. Mm-hmm. But hey, yeah. Those are like I think those were just little, those were just chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets that they were. Yep. No, I think he would have like enlisted Troy. He would have asked Troy to like, you know, feel around with her emotional feelings to figure out what the heck was going on. You know, because they did have that whole.
Which is interesting because there were no Vulcans on the Enterprise D. So.
Oh, there was. There was.
But not on the bridge.
No, not on the bridge. Ensign, what's his name, who was in engineering, and he wound up.
Oh, yeah.
He wound up on Voyager later on.
Also, there was a guy on the bridge who ended up in Mad Men. That was.
Really?
Yeah,
on this bridge or the other bridge?
The Voyager bridge in this
episode.
Yeah, wow. Like Lieutenant Durst looked so familiar. So I looked him up and he was in like season 5 or 6 of Mad Men.
Oh, sweet. I never watched Mad Men.
Yeah, it was good.
Mom did, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't get into that whole 60s, like, let's have a martini thing. Because when I go home for lunch, I can't have martinis. So there you go. Okay, so we figured out what Picard would do. Interesting Star Trek facts. You kind of covered that though already a little bit.
Well, do you have a quick one?
Oh, I do have a quick one, and it relates to later. So yeah, so in like looking around and stuff, research for this episode, Ex Astris Scientia. It's one of those Star Trek databases.
Okay.
Kind of a cool website.
Like Memory Alpha?
Yeah, like Memory Alpha. You know, shout out, go for it. It's an interesting place. I don't know how much truth is there. You know, I can't verify it, but hey. So they said, this is interesting. Season 2 of the original series. Season 2. This is just season 2. And I may be wrong, but the way I read it was, had 16 red shirts got killed.
Oh.
2 blue shirts.
Mm-hmm.
1 gold shirt. And 1 unknown KIA, because he was killed off camera. And nobody saw him go off camera, so it would seem he's just dead.
We don't know. It's probably red, though.
But hey, I like they had like almost like a bar chart there.
Wow.
Like 16 red shirts. Red shirts, like, you know, took the bulk of the hits.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, no red shirts died in the making of this Voyager episode. So who should we dedicate our red shirt to?
Well, I would like to dedicate this episode. To another red shirt from the original series.
I'm sorry.
Okay. And I picked him because I like his name.
Okay.
More than anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was vaporized. It's always good to have a clean death.
Yeah, it might be the best way to go.
No, it is. Yeah, you're there 1 minute, and the next minute you're steam. Mm-hmm. So, Lieutenant Carlisle was vaporized by the probe Nomad.
Ooh.
And that's not Nomad, by the way. That's Nomad. Nomad is something completely different.
I'll take your word for it.
Harry Potter?
What are you talking about?
Oh, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
You and I are Nomad. In no magical, like muggles, but you know, they call them nomads in that.
That one's not canon, so I didn't watch it.
You haven't, seriously? You haven't seen this?
No, I got the book on Audible and I just haven't listened to it yet.
Harry Potter, shout out to Harry Potter people. Tell Bridget.
I was at Harry Potter room yesterday, so I love Harry Potter.
She needs to. Harry Potter.
Don't get me wrong.
She needs to watch this movie. This is like, oh no, seriously. Okay, right, I digress. Sorry, I digress. Okay, he tried to stop Nomad from going into a bad place. He was vaporized.
All right.
Season 2, episode 3.
Everyone, raise your glasses.
to Raise Lieutenant Carlisle.
Lieutenant May he Carlisle. Rest in peace.
God help him. It's time to be quiet.
Raise a glass for him. Moment of silence.
I did. I don't have a glass. I just have a beer.
All right, Dad. What episode are we doing next time?
Are we at that point?
Yeah, let's just do okay. it. Oh, wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay, we're wrapping it up.
We're wrapping it up.
We're good. We're right on target.
Stay on target.
We're on target. Yeah, that's a Star Trek or Star Wars reference. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to another series.
Yes.
We're gonna move beyond Voyager, even though sometimes I think Voyager, it might be my favorite series.
Ooh, wow, that's big words.
At least the first couple seasons. It got weird after a while, but the first couple seasons were pretty interesting.
Pre-Seven of Nine.
Not going down that road. Sorry, not going down that road. Oh man. Lovely actress. Lovely actress. Mm-hmm. I'm not dissing her. Uh-huh. But yeah, a little bit. Anyway, I'm moving on to Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh.
Which I thought was an interesting series. And some people argue that Archer was the best captain.
Interesting.
Shout out to my friend Andy, who argues about Archer being the best captain. I'm not so sure about that, but hey, whatever. I'm willing to listen to your argument, just not agree with it. So
I only saw one episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
Well, then you're gonna have to watch this. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, you know? I guess.
Shout out hashtag Netflix.
I better watch it now. So, which episode are you watching?
Okay, we are talking season one.
Okay.
Episode 19.
Okay.
Acquisition.
Okay.
And you're gonna love this because Acquisition stars Jeffrey Combs, who was the crazy FBI guy I had it on the tip of my tongue. Okay, Jeffrey Combs was the FBI guy in the movie The Frighteners.
That's a great movie.
I love that movie. That's
the so FBI guy awesome. Makes me want to throw up.
Oh yeah, but he makes that him and
oh, I love that movie.
And half of those ghosts. Oh, they make that movie so awesome.
So good. So,
the FBI guy is Jeffrey Combs.
Cool.
So he's in this episode. Clint Howard.
He was in a bunch of Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, Ron Howard's brother was in this episode.
Cool.
Okay. And Ethan Phillips.
Neelix. Does he play Neelix?
No, he does not. You kind of recognize him, but he's got a lot of makeup on. So it's really good. Look for those three people.
Cool. Ethan awesome. Phillips,
Clint Howard, and Jeffrey Combs. And
I want to make Jeffrey Combs my profile picture now.
Oh, he was in a lot of Star Trek. Jeffrey Combs was in a ton of Star Trek.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
He played an Andorian in a whole crap load of Star Trek Enterprise. So,
cool.
And the thing about Jeffrey Combs is like, he might have a ton of makeup on, but you recognize his voice and you go, oh, that's the guy from Frighteners. Right. Oh, I love that guy. So, So, hey, shout out Jeffrey Combs if you're listening. hey, shoot me an email. Oh, buddy.
What's our email, Dad?
Our email? Say hi at talkintrek.com. I think it's say_hi, but it's on our website.
TalkinTrek.com.
At the bottom. So we got that.
Follow us on Instagram at TalkinTrek. And we'll see you next week.
We're on SoundCloud too, right? Where are you, SoundCloud?
Yeah, well, that's how I get it onto iTunes. So,
you
can listen to us wherever you get your iTunes.
So wherever you get your sound and your cloud.
All right, Dad, what do you say we end this thing?
Make it so.
Good morning, Starfleet Academy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Vietnam.